Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew Mornings. You're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast. All right, guys, 5:01, another beautiful Monday morning here. Fired up, back in the saddle, rolling here. Why? Helping you take your next step with God. Listen, remember, this, I'm going to be repeating this all year long, over and over again. We are here to be agents of change. Can you hold convictions? Yep, absolutely. Can you hold opinions? Absolutely. In fact, I don't think God ever denies us convictions and opinions. I was thinking about this over the weekend because there's so much going on in our world today that just, I mean, it's straight up crazy. China, by the way, is, while we've got such turmoil in our country, they're just running roughshod over the world right now. But you look at some of the stuff, and I've asked myself this question. I want you to kick it around with you guys. Do you think Jesus and the Apostle Paul had opinions about the Roman government? Or do you think they checked their opinions at the door?
No, I'm sure they had their opinions.
You're talking Peter here. Come on.
Well, I was talking Paul, but we'll talk Peter too.
But
so do you think they had opinions? The answer is?
Of course.
Do you think they had convictions that conflicted with the government?
Yes.
Yes.
No question. So I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, one of the sure signs that we have, by the way, in the pages of Scripture, what is their posture toward the government? Defer to it. Mm-hmm. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's.
Oh, okay.
First Timothy 2, pray for those in authority over you. Mm-hmm. Never does it say, grab a side, grab some issues. It is so kingdom, whoop, right here, which, by the way, has its own issues attached to it.
Yeah.
But I was intrigued with this because I thought, and it was fun because I was just kicking around going, hold on a second. Jesus had opinions.
Yeah.
Jesus thought things. By the way, they all had emotions. They felt stuff.
Yeah. And I think I like what you said because I think God created us with a brain for a reason. Our own brain that works really well.
And we're not called to check it at the door.
No.
No. But here's the kicker. Over and over again in Scripture, God calls us to rise above that. Rise above it, rise above it, rise above it. Everywhere. I mean, the more I'm doing this, I've been power reading through the Scriptures. The more I'm doing this, the more I'm realizing, hold it a second. We are called to live so differently. It's called aliens and strangers. Well, let me tell you something. Aliens and strangers don't get their emotions twisted around the axle of earthly things. Now, I get it. Kingdom living has earthly implications.
Right.
But there's something above and beyond. And I gave the message over the weekend, and I'm more pumped than ever about this. I think that the church that's unified around being agents of change, all of a sudden, all the other myriad little issues, and some of them aren't little, justice issues and stuff, I get that. But when your calling to be an agent of change is as big as the Scriptures paint it, I think it's more unifying than a lot of the stuff out there is disunifying. Just some thoughts. Because it's, man, I'm telling you what, we need to get rallied around something. And it's the gospel. We just have to, guys. Mm-hmm. Just have to. These are crazy, crazy days. Well, listen, we're up and running today. And guess what we're going to be using as our central kind of our hub that we revolve around? We're going back to the Word of God this week. Isn't that crazy?
Going back.
Oh, that's right. We're always in the Word.
Phew. I sure hope we hadn't left.
Yeah.
That's right. No, we're in it this week big time because we're talking the Word to life. And, by the way, big announcement coming this Friday for something that's going to start next Monday. That's the go time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're going to start it next Monday.
Oh, that's exciting.
Big, big deal. Allie's been sitting on it for a long time.
No, she told me about it.
I know. She's been sitting on it. I didn't know it.
I still don't. Okay. Do I get to know before Monday? Allie. No.
You get to find out when it. Well, let you know ahead of time.
All right, thank you.
But yeah, we've got a big announcement. It has to do with the Bible and reading it, and that's going to be coming up all throughout the week. But it's going to officially launch a week from today.
Never mind.
Sweet.
I know it.
So it's going to be good. Okay, guys, let me ask you a question. Have you ever made a mess out of your life?
Yes.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was quick.
Next. I mean, does anyone have to think
hold
too
it.
Long
hold
about
it. That?
That
was
one.
Good. That was good. You ever? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even get out of your life and it was coming out. Sputnik, you yeah. didn't speak up.
I did. You didn't hear me.
Okay, so everyone was Young Thunder?
I said no, but I'm just kidding. Of course I have.
Super Die?
Oh, I definitely answered.
And
hello.
Allie.
Yes, no question.
I thought I heard you say it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And for sure, me. I mean, that's all my every illustration in my life comes back from me making a mess out of it. So it's pretty easy.
Did you stop making a mess out of your life in 1984? Was that the end of the mess?
Well, yeah. I mean, you've worked with me. You know I've struck perfection gold here.
Oh, so. Wow.
No, seriously.
Yeah, no, of course not. I mean, this is why that's a great basic illuminating question, though. A lot of people think it's you that said it here a couple of 3 weeks ago, that it's this linear thing. You're lost in darkness. You get saved. You're transformed. And now you're born again and waiting for glory to come.
And they all lived happily ever after.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I wish so. But it didn't work that way, did it? I can make a mess out of my life today. That's why we need to take heed lest we fall.
Sure.
Scripture's pretty clear. I mean, if you think that you are above making a mess out of your life in a moment, watch the news. Better than that, watch your life.
It's so there like are an show. Infinite number of ways for us to make a mess out of our life through our decision-making, through our relationships.
Lack of decision-making.
A lack of relationships.
Our words.
Yep.
It doesn't end, man. It doesn't end. So we thought we'd focus on what a train wreck of a life you have this morning.
What?
Oh, no, that's right. We're going to flip that around.
Thank Lanta. You.
We thought we'd focus this morning on this question.
How has God's word kept you from making a mess out of your life? Yeah.
Happy Monday, y'all.
No, this is great because this is that thing that we look at that goes, if I hadn't read this, I would have done this. I'd have been stepping in the goose poop bigger than Dallas. I'd have had that goose stuff all over me. And that's green and white, you know, it's gross.
Wow, thank you for that.
Lovely.
We are starting.
You ever gotten goose poop on your feet?
No, not why?
If
you haven't, if you go golfing, you've had a lot of goose poop on your feet. Those goose, for some reason, those geese, they just love to poop on the fairways.
That in soccer fields. So if you've ever had a peewee in soccer,
really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No. They hit soccer fields?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
That's so
There's
funny.
A lot of them in Chicago, like by the lake.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know there were a lot by the lake.
They're like over by Lincoln Park Zoo.
Yes, there's
so many. I mean, they are everywhere. You have to kind of weave through them if you're walking over there.
You ever had a pigeon poop on your head?
Oh, my.
Or a goose?
Squirrel.
No.
No. That squirrel didn't poop on you.
I have had a squirrel poop on my head. You know this.
Oh, that part I did know. I keep getting fixated on you breaking the tail off that other one.
Yeah, I do have a
squirrel. She got so mad at that squirrel.
Me and squirrels don't have a great thing going.
Are you bitter toward animals in general? Or are you okay?
I'm okay. Mm. I'm okay. I don't love squirrels, though.
Well, I don't blame you.
Yeah, I don't blame you either.
I mean, when you've been poop bombed, that's not cool.
And then chased. Sputnik sends me a link over Christmas break of a story of squirrels gone wild in New York. And they're attacking people in one neighborhood. Like, actually
attacking,
legit
like
attacking
blood.
People.
Well, those were rabid squirrels, guys. Yeah. That's not funny.
But it's weird
but it was terrifying. I was like, as if I didn't have enough reasons to be afraid of them.
I don't think rabies can carry in small animals, but they probably are. But
oh, no, they were rabid. I mean, if they're attacking people, they were
terrifying.
Rabid.
Terrifying.
Squirrels are designed by God to run away from human
people.
Beings.
Right.
Squirrels can be dangerous. That's all I got to say.
People, rabid squirrels can be dangerous. Don't teach your children that squirrels are dangerous.
No.
Allie just had a few bad run-ins with them.
Quite a few.
Oh, that's wild.
Mama, don't let your children grow up to be afraid of squirrels.
Oh, no.
All right, we got to roll. What's the question, Allie?
Well, that really is our question. I know it sounds a little strange, but how has God's word kept you from making a mess out of your life? 312-274-9624.
First up. is going to be Young Thunder bringing the goods. I'll be right behind him. The dudes are going to lead the way.
Sounds
on
good.
How God helped us.
Hey, I'm Allie. You're listening to the Carl and Cruz Showcast.
All right, here's the question we have. How has God's word kept you from making a mess of your life? Right out of Psalm 119. Take it away, Young Thunder.
Yeah, I think God's word has kept me from making a mess of my life in the sense of God's word has kept me from making selfish decisions. That selfish decisions really do ruin a life because they ruin relationships. And relationships really are such a lifeblood to what we do here on earth. And so John 13:35 is the first thing I thought of this morning, where Jesus says, they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. That if we are truly followers of Jesus, that he calls us to love one another, and you can't love someone else selfishly and call it love.
Boom.
You love each other by being selfless, by sacrificing for one another, by loving the way God loved us, by loving without a merit or a deservingness to it, without someone else scratching your back first.
That is really good, because we live in a modern Christian world that it's, I'll come your way when you come my way.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm going to stand right over here.
You need to meet me this certain way before I love you that certain way.
You need to do this before I do that. You're right on. Yeah. That's a great word,
Thank you.
What do you say, Boom Crew? Got that question for you. How has God's word kept you from making a mess of your life? We're in this cool little passage in Psalm 119, verse 9, and you might say, well, does this have to do with me? Oh, yes, it does. Listen to this. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. This is fascinating because this little verse here harkens back to Proverbs. And if you look at Proverbs, you'll find in Proverbs, why am I spacing it out now? 7. Sometimes I'm wondering, what's going on? Am I getting old? No. It's 5:19 in the morning.
Lots of grace.
It's okay.
And here's what's really cool. We find this in Proverbs 7. That the young man headed down, it's to me, it's one of the most classic examples of how to prevent something before it just finally takes your life. And in Proverbs 7, we've got this warning to my son, keep my words and treasure my commandments with you. And then he goes in to warn this young man. And the young man, ultimately, the warning is don't go get bedded down with a woman who you ought not be sleeping with. And to me, it's one of the most epic. I remember distinctly, I'm at this hotel in Little Rock, and we've got this men's event for our singles. We had like 150 guys there, single men, 150 single men. And these are just righteous dudes. I mean, there was a little mini awakening happening in that ministry. And we're out, and I walk them through this Proverbs 7, this progression of how this young guy screwed his life up. Mm. And then we backed all the way up to the first step, and that is he took the path to her house. So the Word of God is so good that it paints a picture of not just how to get yourself out of trouble, but how to never go down the path that's going to get you into trouble and make a mess out of your life. I think the word's that profound. So we want to ask you this question. We know you've got an answer.
How has God's word kept you from making a mess of your life? Pat, first time caller from Elgin, give it to us.
Hi. There were years ago when I used to I was a Christian, but I tended to compare myself to other people and some certain people specifically. And I would constantly compare and be envious and compare. And the Lord had me find the very last chapter in John, the account where Peter said was walking with Jesus after he had risen, and
yes.
He looks at John and he said, "What, Lord? What about this man?" And Jesus said, "What do you care if I have him live till I come?" And he didn't say he was going to live till he came, but he said that. What do you care? You follow me, and you know. That changed my whole perspective. And throughout my Christian life, every time I would start to compare, which could have really made a mess of my life,
yes.
Could have ended relationships, the Lord kept reminding me, what is that to you? You follow me.
Mm.
Woo! And that was it.
Pat, that'll preach. That
you
is
are
good.
Right. So how good. Long you been following Jesus, Pat?
Oh, since I was a little girl. Since I'm a product of Sunday school, since I was a little girl, but I really matured once I got in college. I matured in my faith, and I had to make that decision. Do you really believe me for what you read and for what you see I am, or because your parents believe it or your family believes it? And I had to make that decision, and I continued to just grow in him. But I never, in all my reading of the word, I never saw the last chapter of John where he said that until I needed to read it, and he just spoke to me through it.
Pat, hold on a second. Hold on. We're getting a picture taken of this phone call right now. Okay.
Oh.
This is exactly a picture perfect phone call. You win,
really?
Pat. Oh, yeah. You nailed it, Pat. Thank you so much.
Well, it's true. It's God's word, you know, really talking to you.
Hey, this is Super Di. Hope you're enjoying the Carl and Crew Showcast.
All right, guys. We've got a passage of scripture that's awesome. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Why do I pick out this passage for this point? And that is, God's word can prevent us from making a mess of our life. Mm-hmm. Because this is pointed toward young men who can make a wreck of their life. How many of us have said, oh, boy, he's a wild young man? But we're all wild young men, in a sense, can make a wreck of our life.
And so by guarding his life according to God's word is actually going to keep him on the right path so that he does not go many different ways that can wreck a life.
Big time. So we're asking the question,
how has God's word done that for you? How has God's word helped you, or kept you, rather, from making a mess of your life? 312-274-9624.
For me, it's this. Okay, so let me set this up again here. I have a people winning spirit. I love to win people over, mainly to the gospel. That's my heart and passion. But I'm a leader. I've always been a leader, so I want to win people over. Leaders want to do that. It's hard to lay stuff down for leaders. But this can really be a problem because you can find yourself tangled up with people that aren't winnable. And it's better to walk away. Let me give you a case in point. Check this out. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. Let me explain to you what this means to me, because I think it how it's applied. I'll tell you what it means. It means, be careful here, Carl, you're saying crazy stuff. Never ask yourself what this scripture means to you. Ask what does it mean, and then how does it apply to you? Mm-hmm. So what it means is who you surround yourself with matters. As a matter of fact, if you get around mockers, scoffers, and sinners, and you spend too much time with them, you're going to get sucked down. Better to walk alone with God's word than to have the wrong people around you. It's the bottom line. For me, I've spent a lot of time elongating relationships or trying to kind of win someone over when it was actually pulling me down and I should have gotten out of there. It's like I remember one time a guy said, come on, Carl, you've seen the fruit out of this thing right over here. This person, why are you still trying to do this? And there's sometimes I've had a savior complex. Like, I can save them.
Right.
I can do this. Uh-uh. No. Sometimes you've got to first look into the mirror of your own soul to make sure you're not the fool, mocker, or scoffer, by the way. Always look at yourself. But coming out of that, then you got to look around and go, at least for me, what am I doing here? Am I trying to play savior to this person? Because sometimes I've been drowned by drowning people before, and it's not pretty.
So what do you do when you start to default back into people winning type of ways? Do you go back to the word of God?
Yes. Oh, man, absolutely. I mean, it's really a blessing. And I can honestly tell you it's been a long time now since I've really gotten sucked into this in a destructive way. But it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you kind of put your hands up to the Lord and go, Lord, this is yours, but I'm not going to play savior here. And it's freeing.
So what about you? How has God's word kept you from making a mess of your life in some area?
Aaron from Antioch, what's your story?
Hey, good morning. I'll keep it short and brief, but I just wanted to say that Super Die inspired me to call. So awesome. I appreciate that.
She's inspirational, man. What do you got, Aaron?
Yeah, I basically my life was a wreck about 6-7 years ago, and I didn't know where to turn to. My family life was a wreck as well, and I chose to open up my childhood Bible that I hadn't for a really long time, and it's the very first page says this book is the most valuable thing this world has to offer, and I just kept reading. And I finished the Torah, not really having any background in it. And, the moment I finished the Torah, not knowing it was the Torah, I went to a local church, that my friend recommended and busted up at the front doors and was like, I want to get baptized, and told them the same story. And 6 months later I got baptized, and, same thing, you know, that, Super Die was saying that it's the word that kind of saved my life,
yeah.
Not necessarily any specific person.
Yeah, that is awesome, Aaron, and we're
wow.
so grateful. 7 years you've been following Jesus, right, Aaron?
Yeah.
That is so cool. Are you married, man?
Yeah, I got married 4 years ago.
Wow, wow.
Just had a baby.
Dude, you are rocking it. Aaron, man, I'm so proud of you, man. Keep cranking with Jesus,
wow.
okay? Wow.
It's amazing.
Love this, dude.
Hi, I'm Sputnik, and you're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
How has God's word kept you, Allie, from making a mess of your life?
So many ways. I mean, I'll just share one. Reading about the Pharisees, when you read about the religious leaders, the teachers of the law, the people that Jesus constantly had such harsh words for, specifically because they were so preoccupied with the external law keeping, looking the part, and inside they were a mess, and Jesus challenged them on this. I so identified with the Pharisees, with having an exterior that looked pretty well put together, but having an interior that was pretty messy. I didn't really see that that was a problem until I read the Word of God.
And then it's like, boom.
And then you realize that, wait a second, having a well put together exterior is not at all what God is concerned with. And if you want to be pleasing before Him, you need to be made right on the inside.
Boom, boom, boom. Isn't it amazing how when you get pressed up against the Word of God, all of a sudden it's like either you've got to run from it or be changed by it.
Yep.
I mean, there's no middle ground. You just can't keep going back to it. What do you say, guys? We want to hear your story right now.
How has God's Word kept you from making a mess of things or missing it in some area?
Joy in Michigan. What do you say, Joy?
Oh, I'm so excited to share this with you. When I was in college, I married the man I love, God directed me to, and God had called him to be an evangelist. After we were married, we went to seminary, and while he was in seminary, I was teaching school. Then when he was finished with seminary, I began praying, God, should I go with him because he preached and we sang together, or should I stay home and teach school with a guaranteed income? And so I began praying and seeking God in the Word. God, should I go with him? Should we go together as a couple and minister to churches? Should I stay home so we have a guaranteed income? And so I kept searching the Word and searching the Word. And now listen to this, you guys. This has my name on it. In Ecclesiastes, remember I'm saying, now, God,
yeah.
Should I stay home and teach?
I hear
or
you.
Should I? Okay, so listen to what God led me to. He breathed on the Word in Ecclesiastes 4. Verse 9, it says, this is so good. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. This is my favorite. Also, if two lie down together, they can keep each other warm. But how can one keep warm alone? That was God saying, quit your job, travel with your husband, and we've been in ministry over 50 years.
That is so
Whoa.
Cool. Joy, let me tell you something, sister. That is so cool because that has direct connection. And here's the truth. how many guys have gone out on the road alone, and then you get you find yourself in moral compromise and getting into temptations and garbage. This two are better than one is absolutely spot on. Joy, how long have you been following Jesus, sister?
You know, I'm over 70, and I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 6. I my daddy was a preacher. I knelt at the altar when I was 6. I felt such conviction. I have no idea what sins I was doing at 6.
But you felt conviction.
Oh, yes.
I have no idea what sins I was doing at 6. Here's what's weird about that is that the fact that God convicted you of those proves the power of the Holy Spirit, Joy.
Absolutely.
Just proves it.
Absolutely. Yeah,
wow,
absolutely.
Joy, you are an inspiration, young lady. Thank you so much. And give your man a hug for us. Wow.
That is so good. God's word is that good. We want to hear from you. How has God's word kept you from missing it, from making a mess of your life in some area?
Noah, first-time caller in Sycamore. What do you say, Noah?
Hey, I was living my life kind of bad, all alone, and was running from God, tried subsidizing it with drugs, alcohol, and sex, realized it was just hurting me more than it was helping me, and I leaned on Psalm 139 to kind of help me through that, searching your God. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there's any great grievous ways in me and lead me in the ways of everlasting. So that's really helped me out through that time. So,
yeah. Right on. Noah, how long you been really following Jesus now since he pulled you out of
that mess? Man. I grew up in a Christian household, went to a Christian school, and really never felt it was my religion, my relationship until I got out of high school, and I'm now 21, so I mean, I kind of you know, recently is really when it's kind of hit me hard.
Right on. Noah, listen to me, man. I need you to hear me a second. I am so proud of you, bro. I am so proud of you. And I need you to know that there's a lot of people out there talking about their Christianity, relating it to a college or a school that they went to or decisions that they made or homes that they were raised in. But you're talking about the real deal. And here on this show, I just want you to know that's a commodity. Thanks for being there for us, Noah. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Anytime. God bless.
God bless you, my man. Noah, first-time caller from Sycamore.
That's fantastic.
Give me 21-year-olds listening to Carl and Crew in the morning.
21 years old.
Come on, man.
Wow.
Woo! We want your feedback right now.
How has God's word kept you from making a mess of your life?
Super Dye's on the phone right now, so let me tee up mine here. For me, God's word has been so good post-transformation by God. I mean, I could go through the scriptures and go, that one corrected me, that one helped me, that one helped me. But one of the biggest ones is, let me give you a fresh one. This is a fresh one. For me, in Colossians chapter 3, just shifted gears here, God's word has kept me out of the comparing game, which can be so incredibly dangerous. Comparing ourselves is deadly, right?
Oh, sure. Looking around and seeing what other people are doing or not doing or what you feel like they should be doing or should not be doing.
Big time. And what do we find the Apostle Paul saying in Colossians 3? He says, do your work as unto the Lord. Because you are working for him. And I got to tell you, man, that's a game changer. When you look at what you're doing as, think about it right now. If you're a truck driver, you're doing that for the Lord. If you're a teacher, you're doing that for the Lord. If you're a doctor, you're doing it for the Lord. If you're picking up trash, you're doing it for the Lord. If you're a radio person, you're doing it for the Lord. When you, and I mean more than just words, think about it. The work you're doing for him. Whoa.
Wow.
That can change things.
And so how did it challenge what you thought were thinking before?
It's easy to get your eyes on what other people are doing or aren't doing, either how they're excelling or how they're lazy. When you get your eyes on how they're excelling, you get envy. You get your eyes on how they're lazy, you get bitter.
What about you? How has God's word confronted, challenged, kept you from making a mess out of things? 312-274-9624.
It's really, the word of God is that practical,
that
guys.
That practical, and we've been hearing examples all morning.
Come on, 312-274-9624. Let's go to the phones.
Let's go to Philip, who's calling in from Aurora. Philip, how has God's word kept you from making a mess of things?
Oh, good morning. Good morning, y'all. It's so good to, you know, I used to be Philip from Chicago. We moved, so now I'm Philip from Aurora.
Philip, man, yeah.
What's going on, y'all? And you know something, man. Carl, you're so right. You know, if I worry about trying to keep other people out of the ditch and I'm in the ditch, then I am no help to anybody. And I told Superdi, I said, you know, Romans 13:14 has been one of my go-to verses. You know, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to glorify itself thereon. And I know that as a man, as a father, I need that. I need those safeguards. I need those bumper rails, like at the bowling alley, to keep me out of the gutter, to keep me out of the ditch, man. Because I will make a mess. I'm so good at making a mess out of things. Just when I think I'm doing it right, and then I say, "Oh God, I've done it again."
Yeah.
Help me.
Yeah. And aren't we glad, Philip, that we find mercy there?
Amen.
Amen.
At the foot of the cross, brother.
Hey, Philip, I love you, man. I love you, and I'm so glad that you're still with us here, just a little move down the road a piece.
I love what he said. I'm so good at making a mess.
Oh, well, this is what I love about Philip. He's willing to be honest.
It's true for all of us.
Oh, the foolish man that I am. That which I do, I don't want to do. That which I don't want to do, I do. Who will save me from this body of sin and death? Romans 8:1.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on now.
Hey, it's Young Thunder, and you're listening to the Carl and Cruz Showcast.
Let me pour out my heart here for a moment. We can't be as cavalier as we've been about growing up in our relationship with God. We've been too cavalier. We've taken too many things for granted. I'm being general and painting a big picture here, but if you've ever felt a sense of urgency, it's time to get your feet on the rock and get strong in Jesus so that you can handle and survive storms. It is now, people. It is now, right now. It is now. We can't be quibbling about the color of carpet in the lobby of the church anymore. We can't be doing that. There's way too many things at stake here. If you haven't noticed lately, we're not only a post-Christian nation now, we're a nation that is, the hip factor of Christianity is quickly fading away. There was a certain amount, maybe you guys can't remember this, but I remember in the early 80s, there was a certain hipness. I mean, Billy Graham was a respected dude. You know, he still hits the most respected men list over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. But those days when you're going to get evangelical, solid guys that are the kind of the primary counsel to presidents. Billy Graham had that role for years.
Right.
I'm not saying he was listened to by all of them, trust me.
And it wasn't just Christian presidents.
No. No, these were guys, and I mean, I don't care if it's Kennedy, Johnson, whatever. The stuff that went on in the White House back in the day, guys, oh my goodness. Now we got social media, so we know it within seconds what's happening around the world. But Billy Graham had a voice in those days, there's a certain amount of that will not be back again. This is a day to grow up in Jesus. The time has come to open the word and get strong in the Lord. I'm thinking about some of these saints that call into our show that have been walking with Jesus for a lot of years, and there's a deep resonance of God's providence and power in their lives. We all got to get like that.
And so we're asking you for stories today, specific examples of times when your being in the Word of God, your knowing what God's Word said, kept you from making a mess out of things. We're going to go to Carolyn from Chicago. Thanks for calling in this morning. How has God's Word kept you out of a mess?
Hi, good morning, Carl and crew. So many, many years ago, I was going to church. I didn't have a relationship with Christ. I was just going to church. And so I got offended at something the pastor said. I left church. I got over to a lesbian relationship.
Okay. Oh, okay. Say that again. I might have walked on you there. Go ahead. Say that again.
Yeah. I got over into a lesbian relationship.
Okay.
And I had kids, and I was losing patience, and I had a Christian friend. And I asked him to show me some scripture on patience. Well, we didn't end up there. We ended up in 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
Oh, boy.
Verse 9. And the word effeminate popped off the page. because I was very prideful, and I used to say, I've never seen the word homosexual in the Bible. You know, forget the fact that I wasn't even reading the Bible. And
that's honest.
And that word effeminate jumped out in the Holy Spirit. And even though I was in sin, I knew it was the Holy Spirit, spoke to me and said, that means homosexual. You're going to hell if you don't stop. Within 6 months, I was out of that relationship, out of that apartment, and on my way to becoming an evangelist.
Yeah, that's amazing stuff, sister.
Glory to God.
Glory to God is right.
Glory to God.
Yeah. That's Carolyn from Chicago. That's some powerful revelation there.
Wow. So, Carl, you want to give any a thought on that? Because I know there are people listening who are going, okay, so is what she just said true?
Yeah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we find something amazing here. But it's not just one thing that's picked out. It's a list of things. This is what I love about this. Or do you not know, Paul says, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, we know that, right?
Right.
But now Paul gives some examples of what it is to walk in unrighteousness. Now, even saints sin, but I'm talking about a way of living that characterizes someone. Listen to what he lists here. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral nor idolaters. Okay, so let's just break it down. This means flaming heterosexuality or people that have substitute gods in front of them, right? As a habit.
Right.
They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Nor adulterers. You can't go sleeping around on your spouse ritualistically here, and this is, you know, that's what you're most defined you.
Mm-hmm.
Nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkens, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, mixed into this whole list is homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's a couple things I want to highlight. Number one, the word of God is not mealy-mouthed on sexual identity issues. And here's what I want to say, because God's given me the grace and the privilege of working with seven men who have struggled with homosexuality. And I have, by God's grace, witnessed them walk in freedom. Some have to abstain from it and have to fight off those feelings until the Lord comes back. And I will tell you, on two of their cases, they're doing it with joy. They say, praise be to God, because I'm gonna stand in the gap like this. Some have been delivered from even those emotions in total. One man I'm thinking of in specific, totally released from that. But here's what where we get off the rails. When we start picking off, as Christians, little pet sin areas that just don't fit our MO, we start forgetting what Paul had here. Greedy. I mean, if you're just constantly walking around and you live a life of greed and it's about what you can get, what you can collect, the stuff that you have, you're in the same pile with idolaters and people that are cheating on their spouses, and the list goes on and on. So a couple of things. One is Scripture is really clear about sexuality. And second thing is make sure that we're not creating a hierarchical list that's putting people out because we've not included everyone that's included in that list.
And that's, if you want to check it out for yourself, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 11 is kind of where you want to go, but read the whole chapter for context.
Yeah, I had one friend. He was messed up. He had been raised in the church, was messed up in a homosexual relationship, and he was starting to get turned on to the Word of God, and boom, he's reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and he's like, I am running from this thing. I am running from this relationship. And he's run into the arms of God, and he's never looked back. Can God give us victory over anything and everything that's stealing life from us? And the answer is
absolutely.
Going back to the phones.
We want to know from you, how has God's word kept you out of a mess? 312-274-9624.
What do you say, Bill, in Connecticut, man? What do you say?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Doing great. What's your story, man?
Great, great. I was in a 28-year business relationship, very lucrative business with my brother, a non-believer. And he became more hostile to the gospel, a scoffer and a mocker. And I just couldn't continue in the relationship anymore. And I read in Proverbs 16:8, it says, better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. And he was doing some dishonest things. And I had to confront him with it all the time. And I also read in Proverbs, it says, better is a dry crust and with peace than great feasting, you know, with strife.
Yes.
And I ended the relationship, and that created a whole nother set of problems with the exit strategy and everything. But yeah. Anyway, in hindsight, looking back, it's such a mess there at that business. It's still profitable, but there's such misery there. And, you know, I got out. I couldn't have gotten out at a better time. I praise God, you know, for that insight.
Bill, thank you so much for calling in. That's huge, my man. Bill from Connecticut. That's okay. That's life right there. That's life.
I love the power of the Word of God to challenge and to confront. And the Holy Spirit uses God's Word in different ways at different times in our life. So he probably had read those verses before.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, that speaks right to what I'm dealing with right now.
Love it, man. Now we're talking.
Wow.
Boom, boom, boom. I got to keep issuing booms around here. That's why we call you the Boom Crew. Give us a call right now.
How has God's Word kept you out of a mess?
Super Die, how has God's Word kept you from making a mess of your life? I love this question.
Well, God's Word saved me from making a mess of my life because God's Word saved me. Literally saved me. It wasn't a person that came to me. It wasn't a sermon that I was listening to. I became a Christian as an adult, and it was by reading the Word of God. Wow. So, period.
Okay.
He helped me from making my life a mess by saving me. There you go.
Wow.
God's Word saved me for eternity.
Okay, and see, you weren't hearing a message preached.
Nope.
You were up in Hancock Building.
Right. No one was talking to me. No one was mentoring me. No one was explaining the gospel to me.
Do you remember where you were reading exactly?
I was in Romans. Romans 8.
I thought you said Romans.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it just, and the Holy Spirit just knocked you over.
Boom! 2x4 right across the top of the head.
In the best way.
In the best way.
Wow.
Sputnik.
I fell in love with God's Word really early on, and I only praise Jesus for this, but I remember staying up at night on the top of my bunk bed with a flashlight and reading my Bible. And something that stood out to me at a young age was Matthew 6:19-21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, but save up for yourselves treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I remember asking my mom about moths. Like, how do moths destroy? Because I was so curious about that at a young age. And I'm so thankful because, honestly, at age 18, I remember God just calling my heart towards ministry. And that's why I went to Moody. That's why, honestly, I'm married to the guy that I'm married to. Because I wasn't focused on money.
Yeah.
At a young age. And so a lot of my decisions weren't based on how am I going to make the most money.
And you attribute that to the Word of God?
Yes, hands down. I mean, I married a youth pastor who was not even, didn't have a job at a church yet. So, and I'm so thankful for that. So the decisions that I've made are not based off of money, but purely off of what God wants for me to do.
Boom. That's practical.
Yeah.
And that's really good. I mean, in all sincerity, I mean, you don't just kind of drift into this.
No.
You don't drift into becoming a great giver. Some people might be naturally given toward that, but when you get rocked by the Word of God, you go, whoa, yeah, there's power in being generous here.
Life-changing info. Hey, it's Super Die, and you are listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
This next guest I got reconnected with. And you're going to love this guy.
His name is Cam Aronson. He spent over 40 years in pastoral ministry serving churches in Alaska, Kenya, California, and United Arab Emirates. He was born and raised in a missionary family in East Africa. He's authored several books, including one we're featuring today, The Gospel of God, A Journey Through Romans.
Let's bring him in. Cam, good morning.
Good morning, Carl.
Good to have you with us today, my man. Really is. For those of you in the Boom Crew that don't know this, I'm going to fly through this super quickly here, but in 1984, February 11th, God set me free from addiction to cocaine and alcohol. I was in Alaska. My life was falling apart. I was 23 years old. I often say I was 24. It's going to be 24 a few months, but I was 23 years old, and I was just broken. And God called me out of the darkness into the light. I got a brand new New American Standard Bible in my hand. And bada bing, I started opening that thing, started reading. And my dad said within about a week, he said, you know what, Cam Aronson, a really respected young gunslinging preacher up there in Alaska, dishing up the word like you can't believe. And I got a tape. I got the tapes of the Book of Romans, Allie. And I started powering through these things.
Wow.
And I would be sometimes on my knees, bawling my eyes out, sometimes standing up, running around wherever I was at, an apartment, whatever, just cheering like a wild man. But huge impact. We talk about the word to life. We thought we'd bring in Cam. It's a cool jaunt down history lane, and we're gonna promote his brand new book about the Book of Romans. But I'm going to go ahead and let you ask our guests the first question, Allie.
Pastor, what would you say to somebody who's brand new to reading the Bible? What do they need to know about the Book of Romans?
I think the thing that Romans brings is it goes beyond verses, you know, isolated verses, and tells the whole story of how we can get right with God and then how we can stay right with God. Mm. And Paul had never been to Rome. He didn't know the Roman church particularly. He knew some individuals in it. But because he didn't know who knew what, he therefore takes the time to really paint a broad picture of the whole salvation that God has provided for us through Christ. And so it's a very thorough foundation that I think everyone needs. Rather than, you know, troubleshooting through different verses, which is a great way to go. Those are like bricks in the building, but you really need a foundation to lay those bricks on. And that's what the Book of Romans provides for us.
Cam Aronson is our guest right now. Cam, it's so good to have you with us on this show, and your teachings through the Book of Romans were so powerful, so illuminating. I was thumbing through my first Bible that I had when I was going through some of your teachings on this. And what stunned me was how paradigm shifting Romans is, verse after verse, chapter after chapter, like turn your whole mind and life around. What allows some people to be transformed by it and allows others to only read it academically? What's the game changer? Because we're all about life change here, Cam.
Yeah. It starts with we're not saved by the things that we do. We're saved by the things that Christ has done for us.
Yes.
And that's where it starts. That's the whole first seven, six, five verses of Romans, or not five chapters. But then it goes beyond that to allowing the Word of God, allowing the gospel to do the paradigm shifting. I was just thumbing through, you know, waiting for you to come on the line. And, you know, one of the things I love about Romans and Paul's writing in general is the way he uses word pictures to get a hold of our hearts. And just in chapter 6-7 and a little bit in chapter 8, he talks about the fact that we now have a new king. And he uses languages like, don't let sin reign, as in rule, as a king in your life. Don't let sin be
right.
A king in your life.
Right.
And then in chapter 6:18, it's about a new master. And don't be a slave anymore to sin, but be a slave to God. And then in chapter 7, it's we have a new husband. You know, the old husband died. We're in a new marriage now with a new love affair with a new husband who's Christ. And then beyond that, we have new children, a new fruit. He asked the question, what kind of fruit did you get out of that old marriage? Do you really want to stay in it? And then chapter 8, 15, 16, it's about having a new family, a new father. We have a spirit of adoption whereby we call him Abba, Father. And so, you know, you start to shift those paradigms, new king, new master, new husband, new fruit, new family. That shapes the whole way we look at life and gives us new motivation to say, why would I want to continue in sin? Why would I want to continue in this old stuff that brought me such heartache? You know, I want the new life. And that's the foundation that we get. I like that, you know, the phrase paradigm shift, because that's really what it's all about. Mm.
Cam Aronson, author of a brand new commentary in the book of Romans that I promise you will change your life. We want to link you up with it right now, Boom Crew.
The Gospel of God, A Journey Through Romans, just released last month. Right now, you can find it on Amazon, so just do a quick search for it. The author, our guest, Cam Aronson.
Yeah, good stuff. Cam, thank you so much, and we're going to keep spiking this, guys.
It's called The Gospel of God, A Journey Through Romans.
Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.